Please listen carefully.
And now, live from the attic that smells like a basement in McKinney, Texas, it's the Assuming Positions Podcast, featuring two guys high-fiving with words, Kevin and Mikey.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Assuming Positions Podcast. Kevin over here.
And Mikey over here.
And today we are doing another reassumption, part two, reassumption of Clash of the Titans. Last week we did
Clash of the Titans.
And this week we're doing
Clash of the Titans.
But last week we did the OG 1981 film.
Yep.
And today we're talking about the 2010, 10 years ago, Clash of the Titans film.
Almost 30 years after the original.
Which is called a remake, I guess, but not really. So we'll get into it. So
we will.
This was it's Warner Brothers. The original was MGM. Warner Brothers got the rights in 96, I guess.
Yep.
And so this one stars Sam Worthington, Gemma Arterton?
Arterton, yeah.
Arterton? Arterton? I'm not sure how to say it. Mads Mikkelsen.
Yes.
Rafe Ralph. It says Ralph, but everyone says Rafe, don't they?
Well, this may be just deaf kid in me. How I always reason it out, it is Ralph Fiennes, but yeah. I think everybody calls him Ray. Like
Ray Fiennes.
Like Ray short for Ralph.
Ray Fiennes.
Yeah.
So it sounds like Ray Fiennes because they say it fast.
Yes.
This is like a Lord and Miller thing where I thought that was a person named Lord and Miller.
I think I looked into that because it confused me so much. I was like, his name is Ralph. Like, is it a weird pronunciation? Because I thought it was Rafe, but I believe it's Ray Fiennes.
And of course, Liam Neeson as Zeus with a certain set of skills.
Yes. You have taken my mortal. When I come and find you, I will know.
Okay, so Clash of the Titans, well, when this came out, it made its money back, and it made its money back enough to get a sequel.
Yep.
But it was supposed to be a trilogy, and that didn't happen.
That didn't happen.
So, anyway.
One of the interesting facts I heard is that they had to rush a lot of the 3D aspects of it.
Yes.
And so because the 3D wasn't good, I think impacted what otherwise is an okay movie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder how much the 3D affected the trilogy aspect of it.
It seemed like this was, from what I read, I could be wrong, but from what I read, this was one of those movies that was retro 3D'd.
Yeah.
It's when they were doing that.
Yep.
So they ran it through the 3D thing, and that actually focus group tested better the 3D version than the 2D version. So
okay. They
were like, 3D at all. So it was actually delayed. The release was delayed a little bit because they wanted a 3D at all.
I believe it.
Of course, I didn't have a 3D TV at my house, so I saw it in 2D.
Yep, same.
Did you see this originally in theaters?
Yes, I did. I saw it when it came out.
Did you see it in 3D?
I did.
I didn't see it at all. So I'm never seen Clash of the Titans.
I don't remember it adding too much, but I was sort of against it because there was that huge craze where everything had to be 3D.
Yeah,
it's
This
is what people want. Let's make everything, like you're saying, the retro 3D. So I guess I was just against it on principle then, but I didn't miss it watching it the second time.
Yeah. Well, I didn't miss it because I didn't know what it was.
But this is your first time seeing it.
Yeah, it's my first time seeing it.
Okay.
So we kind of broke the other one down as it goes through. So we'll do this one that way too.
Mm-hmm.
And then comment on the parts.
Yes.
As we go through. So one of the things that I did after seeing this is that this movie is actually pretty different than the original movie as far as the story goes.
Yes.
So it made me curious, did they make this more like the original Perseus myth? So
I went
and looked up the original Perseus myth and found out that neither of them follow the original Perseus myth well at all.
Yeah.
And it almost to the point that it made me upset at this one for not being more like the first one, and even upset at the first one for not being more like the myth, because the myth is kind of cool.
Yes.
And I think if they actually just went ahead and stopped being like, but I'm a writer, I need to put my own spin on this. I think if they literally were like, let's do it just like it was.
I got you.
I think it'd be pretty awesome and pretty compelling because we're still doing these myths after they were, thousands of years old.
Yeah.
And people are still talking about it.
Ancient myths, yeah.
So why not just follow it the way it was? Because it's pretty twisty-turny, topsy-turvy, very soap opera-y. I think it would be good. You know, I think it would be neat to do this as like a Netflix, HBO, something like that type series.
Like a Rome or a Vikings where they actually try and get it
a little bit closer to.
Yeah, because the thing about Perseus is he is one of the only demigods who doesn't have a tragic story. Most of them, it ends poorly for them at some point. And Perseus, it doesn't. So you could actually, like, just do a whole... You could do it.
I gotcha.
I think it would be neat. Anyway, neither of these follows exactly. The 81 is a little closer to it. This one, they just went... They went crazy. They went crazy to the point it annoyed me because they were just changing stuff to change it. And that's why I went and, like, looked to see if they were like, oh, maybe they were changing it back. Nope. They pulled a couple things that were missing from the first one, but only, like, just... It was so just, like, why? It's like, if you're going to go look back for stuff that was missing from the 81 one,
yes,
then just do it more like the original myth.
Exactly.
But that's not what they did. Like, they changed where Perseus is from, and therefore they changed where
all the action happened
in Cassiopeia.
Yeah.
And, okay, we'll get to that. Anywho. So this one, it starts like the other one ended. It starts with the constellations.
Yes.
The other one ended with the constellations.
We get that nice Cate Blanchett, Lord of the Rings style, like, info dump epilogue. Like, right. Here's the setup.
That was interesting. And then right away, they say something there that, as a lover of Greek myths, I went, that's not right. They said, the gods created mortals who worship, maintain the gods' immortality. So humans worshiping the gods gives them their power.
Isn't that a thing? I thought that was a...
No.
It's not a Greek mythology thing?
No, it's not. It's not a thing. Well, it may be a thing in some of the myths, but not in the Perseus myth.
I got you.
I don't know.
I believe it.
They get annoyed when you blaspheme them and they punish you and do all that kind of stuff. Yes.
Yeah.
But I don't ever recall, and I may be wrong. Let us know if I'm wrong, because I'm sure you will, especially Scooter. But as far as I know, I can't think of a myth specifically where, like, there's a revolution against the gods.
Yep.
And even if there is, it's not in the Perseus myth.
Yeah, or so. I can't even think of myths where they had to, like, go on, like, the gods were enacting things just to get more power back, like, which is one of the crux of this movie, but...
Yeah, I don't remember that. So that was odd to me. Were you just fine?
I was fine with it because it is a power balance thing. It gives a reason for the gods and humans to interact, but it's a framework for this movie because this is very much where the first, like, the original was more like a love story. This is very much man versus god, you know, which makes it more of an action movie, a little bit more popcorny, but...
And there's no love story at all. We'll get to that because that was weird. Okay, so in the original 81 Clash of the Titans, we have Perseus is a prince of Argos, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And he and his mom are thrown in the coffin and thrown into the water because the father of Argos, the king of Argos, she had defied him by having a child with Zeus.
Yep.
So banished.
Mm-hmm.
That is 100% what happens in the original Perseus myth.
Cool.
In the original Perseus myth, what it is the king, I think Letitius is his name, the king of Argos is told that his daughter's child will kill him.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he'll die.
Gotcha.
So he says, fine, I'm going to lock my daughter in a cage, a cell. I'm going to lock her up so she can't be touched by a man.
Yep.
So then that won't happen to me. But then Zeus comes in, and then she gets pregnant, and he's like, oh, crap, so I better banish them.
Yes.
So that's how it happens.
I believe
it. So that's 100% right. There you go. Point for 1981. In this one, that kind of happens, but it's not Argos.
Nope.
It's some other place.
It's King Acrisius, yep.
It's King Acrisius. I think that might be the right guy anyway. But either way, it's supposed to be the King of Argos who does it, but it's not. Why are you changing that? That's what I don't know.
To make it more Hollywood.
But Perseus is supposed to be from Argos. I have no idea why they did that.
Couldn't buy the rights to the Argos name, maybe?
No, because the place that he goes to is
right.
Argos. See, it doesn't make any sense. They're making changes not only to the movie, but the original myth. I don't know. It's weird to me.
It's hard to find a reason why the change, because it's close enough to how it should be that it wouldn't really make a difference if they had made it the way it should be.
That bumped me so much because it'd be like, I don't know. It's like, let's do James Bond, but let's not make him from England.
Yeah.
You'd be like, no, he's supposed to be from England. The myth has always been that he's from England.
Let's make him Scottish. Oh, wait. Well,
that's still
Great Britain.
It's still Great Britain.
But I was happy to see the scary, creepy coffin open up the movie again. Like, we're going to throw people into the sea.
Right. Yes. The coffin was there. And then the thing that was in this one is Perseus gets picked up by a fisherman.
Yep.
And that actually is in the original myth.
Oh, cool.
He gets picked up by a fisherman.
Pete Postlethwaite.
Yes. Pete Postlethwaite. I know that. Talk about character actor you've seen in like a billion things.
He's in this for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I love him every time I see him.
He is. And that there are two performances in this that made me able to stick with a lot of it. One of them was his initially, because he's great. He's one of our greatest character actors. Anytime he's on screen, it's lovely.
Yep.
So that was neat. It was neat they added the fisherman in there, mm-hmm. and he was raised, Perseus was supposed to be raised by that fisherman.
There you go.
So there you go. You've got, so at first I was like, maybe they are going along with it.
They're going back to the roots.
And then you get like Perseus sitting there. They have such, it's, I don't know, this can be kind of formulaic, right? It's like, here's young Perseus.
Yeah.
Here's his adopted father saying things to him that's going to set up things for later, right?
Yeah. Foreshadowing.
And then now it's 16, 18 years later, whatever, and they're on the ship. And we're fishing, right?
Yeah.
And so they're fishing, and they're fishing by the giant Zeus statue.
Yes.
Right? Oh, this is awesome. And they're like, hey, what are those guys doing at the feet of the Zeus statue?
Oh, no.
They're cutting Zeus down. Don't cut Zeus down. And then they cut Zeus down, and then Hades shows up.
Yep.
And he's like, why are you cutting my brother I don't like down? Everybody die. Here's demons.
Oh, they're declaring war on the gods.
And those were supposedly the soldiers of Argos.
Yes.
So this is where Argos is, which doesn't make any sense, because it's supposed to be a different place, because Percy's supposed to be from Argos. Anyway.
One point in this movie's favor is that we mentioned in the last episode, but the 80s version, we got Perseus growing up through like 80s montage. So yeah. It was like, here's Perseus, da 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 da. And so you kind of see what happens, but you don't get to really know him. The benefit of having Pete Postlethwaite in here is that you get to, like, it gives you the, I don't know if you can call it the substance of the movie, but he's the one that instills the, you know, somebody's got to pay the gods back for things that are going wrong and all that, you know.
Right.
Like, he's the one that puts that in his head. And so they come across and they actually see it happen. And then Hades shows up, which is weird. Like, it fits into the thing we're talking about where they're monitoring the mortal so closely because that's where their power comes from. And so anytime somebody says their name in vain, they just happen to poof in and be like, what did you say? It's like, no, I'm sorry. I take it back. But Ray finds his Hades. And he looks like Dracula. It's great. It's Voldemort mixed with Greek god.
All he was Voldemort. He just did the Voldemort voice the whole movie.
Oh, it was, Harry Potter, I mean Perseus.
I couldn't get it out, dude.
Really?
Yeah, I couldn't get. It's like, dude, you already used that voice. You can't. You used it for like one of the most iconic movie villains. You can't ever use it anymore.
I get it.
You can't use Darth Vader's voice in anything else again. You can't.
You can't.
So, I mean, you're going to have to come up with a different voice, Ray.
It'd be funny if they tried out other evil voices. He's like, these hurt my throat too much. Let me just go back to my soft Voldemort creepy voice.
It was so Voldemort. It was just, I was watching with my kids and they're like, why does he sound like Voldemort? And I'm like, yes, it is Voldemort. They're like, what? I'm like, that's the same actor. And they're like, oh, no. So, yeah. Anywho.
Yep.
That was our first big action sequence where
Hades, underworld demons come and bust stuff up.
I think in one of the reviews, and this movie did not get good reviews, but one of the reviews said, where man faces off against CGI.
Well, do you want to talk about graphic effects real quick? Because
yes.
We talked about it on the old one. I think we both had nitpicks about it, but there's something to be said about this one, too.
Yeah, the old one was the Harry... Ray Harryhausen. Harry Rayhausen.
Harry Rayhausen, yeah. I know him well.
Yeah. That's a good guy. He runs the donut shop down the street.
Makes them out of clay and they dance around. It's weird.
Anyway, that was the stop motion classic stuff a lot of people consider as masterpiece. As I said, it could use a run through a computer to regrade everything. But other than that, it looks fine.
I didn't know that was his final movie.
Was it really?
Yeah, for Ray.
Oh, so. Wow. And then this is just standard 2010 era CGI that at this point looks kind of like an awesome video game.
Yeah, I agree.
If you're going to talk about not holding up, it's weird because it's not weird, actually, when you think about it. You can watch Jurassic Park, and Jurassic Park still works because of the beautiful blend of practical and CGI that they had to do back then because they couldn't do it any other way.
Yep.
And that's what, as we've talked many times on the pod before, what Jon Favreau realized was the problem, with CGI.
Oh, for sure.
Is that when you just use CGI, there's something off and we can tell. There's an uncanny valley thing. So when you mix CGI and practical together and use CGI to enhance the practical effects,
yep,
you get awesomeness.
It tricks you a little more, yeah.
It tricks you a little more. But this was right in the era when no one was thinking about that. Jon Favreau was still making, like, what, Chef?
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't...
Well, 2010, that would have been, like, early Iron Man. So.
Early. Okay, well, there you go. Yeah. But that stuff doesn't look that bad either, though. I don't know. A lot of it looked like an awesome video game to me. Not that that's a bad thing, I guess, but a lot of times throughout the whole thing... I felt that I was playing a video game. Yeah. And we'll get into it a little more, I think.
Okay.
Because I don't want to... Because this is where the part where, like, we haven't really seen any performances yet other than...
Perseus and his family.
Well, we haven't even really seen Perseus yet.
Oh,
we
true,
saw
true.
The kid Perseus.
Yeah.
Because this is all just, like, it's basically like, hey, there's the statue of Zeus. And I was like, why is he talking like Batman? That's what I wanted to know. Did you notice that? I'm a fisherman, like my father.
I'm intense because eventually I'm demigod and we'll have to battle the gods, so I have to have my god-battling voice
I'm
ready.
Intense. I have everything I need right here. I'm very happy. Oh no, the boat has been sunk by an angry Hades and everyone's drowning to death, and I'm upset. I'm laying on a piece of my dad's ship screaming into the sky.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all we got out of Sam Worthington through the whole thing. That's what he felt to me. Like your avatar in a video game where they don't want to make him.
Oh, yeah.
They don't want to make him have too much emotion because you have to feel like you're him. So he's supposed to have your emotions.
I thought you were doing a clever play on that he was an avatar and you were saying he's the avatar. But I'm like, yeah. I'm with you. But to be fair, like the 81 had Perseus the Confused or the Perpetually Confused.
Perpetually Confused.
So this
with
is
a nipple out.
Yeah. So this is Perseus the Perpetually Intense.
Yes. But also, too, though, you know what? If you look at the old statues that they have of Perseus, they look just like Harry Hamlin.
Oh, really?
He's got curly hair like that.
That's funny.
So it is funny. It's like, hey, man, I don't know. The buzz cut kind of threw me because I'm like, why, dude? Put the curly locks on him. The statue has the curly locks.
Yeah, but I think this is trying to cash in on the trends that I think 300 came out shortly before this. And so in terms of the muscly men and the CGI glow and haze that everything has.
I know.
I think it's just trying to fit into that.
One of my problems with this movie was it was so like Hollywood action movie check marks.
Yeah.
Which, man, the fun thing about the 81 one. The 81 one. The fun thing about the 81 Clash of the Titans is that it was quirky and weird and it was its own thing and they were just doing their thing.
Yep.
The only thing that seemed forced was Star Wars was popular and had a robot in it. Let's have a robot owl. But other than that, the rest of it was it just felt a creation of the people who created it.
I got you.
I know that kind of sounds weird, but you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this seemed like, this is what focus groups like.
You know? This is what the audience wants.
Yes.
Yeah.
The 81 one was one like, hey, we made a movie based on a Greek myth. Hope you like it.
Yep.
And this one's like, okay, we have to have this and this. Okay. Yeah. Perseus needs to be. I'm Batman. I'm Perseus. I'm Perseus. Here I am.
The market Perseus. Likes that. More of that voice.
Well, I'm Perseus. Anyway. So, yeah. So here we got the thing. Oh, he loved his stepdad and now a god killed it. So now he's against the gods and we're on our way.
Quest of vengeance.
So he's brought to Argus where the Cassiopeia and Andromeda are there. And this is one of the scenes that's kind of similar in the throne room. The throne room looks similar to the throne room in the 81 movie as well. And we get a similar thing where Cassiopeia is like, my daughter's the prettier than any god. But instead of the big head falling down and talking,
yep,
we get like Hades shows up again.
In portal mode and like killed a whole bunch of people. Yeah. And he's like, hey, what's up? Hades here.
By the way, that's Zeus's kid over there. Have a nice day.
Yeah.
It was just like, okay, that's fine. Well, sure.
Yep.
There you go. Then they throw him in. What? He's a god's kid. Throw him in jail.
Yeah, the half the people rally against him and half the people are like, you must help us.
Yes. And it's Hades who gives the, sacrifice your daughter before the eclipse or I'm destroying your city.
Yeah, same setup. You same have setup. Instead of 30 days, it's 10 days right. now.
But the funny thing is here is that here's the thing. Here's the problem. a problem. I have a few problems if you guys haven't figured it out by now. Here's the problem. So in the original one, and this does nothing to go along with the myth or not, but in the original one, Perseus's whole motivation was a very Greek tragedy or a Greek story and motivation where that girl's super good looking.
Yep.
I want that to be my wife.
Yep.
I'm going to do anything I can to save her.
Mm-hmm.
What's his motivation in this one other than like, hey, man, help us out, would you?
Yeah. His motivation is just, you killed my dad, so he really doesn't want to help anybody. He just wants to kill the god that killed his dad.
Yeah, it's Batman, right?
Yep. And
I'm Perseus.
Oh, and he rebukes the hero role every step of the way, which seems not very Greek mythology.
Not at all.
Because every Greek hero is one of those like, oh, I'll take up the helm. Let me go now, you know?
Not at all. Perseus is supposed to be given gifts.
Yep.
It's in the 81 they give him gifts. They don't give him all the right gifts, but they give him most of the right gifts.
Okay.
In this one, they're like, here's a sword, I guess. And he's like, and it's basically a lightsaber. And he's like, I don't want it.
Yep.
And it's like, what?
It is a lightsaber. Yeah. That's hilarious.
So it's, I mean, in the 81, Perseus is closer to the real Perseus. He's fake, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm going to say real Perseus. Closer to the real Perseus is like, he's given gifts. In the original myth, he's given... It's not Athena's helmet, it's Hades' helmet.
Oh, okay.
The shadow helmet. It does make him go invisible. And the sword, and a shield. And he doesn't use Pegasus to fly around. He gets Hermes sandals.
Oh, fun.
That's super fun.
Yeah.
See, there's fun stuff in the original one. So anyway, the motivation is like, the first motivation was very romantic, save the princess, very fairy tale. And this one is just like, I'm going to get that guy to kill my dad.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm Batman. It's Batman.
Greek Batman.
I'm Greek Batman.
Batmanius.
I'm Batmanius. So anyway, he agrees, like, we'll let you out if you help us. The king convinces somebody to let him out because it's the only way to save the town. And he's like, okay, I'll do it if it means getting my hands on that Hades guy.
Yeah.
Then we get to meet the cast of Red Shirts. Who
there's so many cool people.
Awesome people in the cast of Red Shirts, though. There's like, it's like the Game of Thrones.
Yep. Well, not reunion because this is before it, but.
Yeah, it's like proto Game of Thrones.
You got Sir Davos.
Yes.
The Onion Knight.
Yes. And also Rory.
Rory the Hound. Yep.
The Hound is there. Now, here's the thing. This right here, Liam Cunningham, who's Sir Davos.
Yes.
Who in this plays Solon.
Mm-hmm.
The only way I could get through the rest of this movie was him being there. And him acting well.
Yes.
Because Sam Worthington, I don't know if you're like, I need to be 2010 Harry Hamlin.
Yes.
Because he was. But the thing is, too, is that Harry Hamlin, for all his confusion, he has that Greek, like, I'm beautiful.
Yeah, he looks like a statue come to life.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Sam Worthington just, I don't know, I'm Batman. He looks like...
He's the dude bro action hero this movie is being marketed for.
That's the thing. This whole movie, the overarching theme of this movie to me is screw you, dad.
Yeah.
Screw you, dad. Yeah. This movie seemed like it was made by a teenager. This is what it seemed like. 81 Clash of the Titans was made by a guy.
Yep.
Ray Harryhausen. Sure, we'll say Ray Harryhausen.
So
Harry Rayhausen. So his son, Ray Harryhausen Jr., goes, I'm going to make my own Clash of the Titans movie. And through the whole movie, he's just going, screw you, dad. And he's like 15 or 16 about. No, I would say he's probably 14 or 15 because anytime you get close to lovey-dovey stuff, no, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah.
I just want to blow things up.
Yeah, I believe it.
It seems like a 14-year-old fever dream. It's like a 14-year-old saw the original while they were sick and fell asleep and then had their own fever dream and it was this one. Screw you, dad.
Yep.
So lightsaber, screw you, dad.
And it's like we're saying, they're pitching to the market. It's like, this is an action movie for dudes. There's no sappy dappy love stuff. You like playing God of War? Come watch this movie. You know?
Oh my goodness gracious. Anyway, so it's cool. We're like, oh, there's all those cool actors I know, and they're all the Red Shirts. But then this made me so many pieces of beads are going away from when it's like, hey, what's this over here? And it's like, it's Bubo. You have Bubo. And they're like, yeah, leave that there.
That took it away for you?
Yes, because it was such a screw you, dad. It was like a, hey, remember this thing? Leave that there. Leave it there. Leave it there. You remember this thing?
Yeah.
You remember this? leave it there. That is so 1981. That is so dumb. Screw you, Dad, for thinking that was cool. Screw you, Dad. You thought that was cool? It's not cool. It's dumb. Put it back. We're not taking it with us. We don't need it in this movie.
I can see that.
That's how I took it.
I can see that. I will assume the other side of the coin and say, like, I think they knew they weren't making the 81 again, because this is, for as much as they're pulling from the same source, they are pretty much two different movies, narrative-wise and setup.
100%.
So I think they threw that in as a wink just to be like, hey, we know this isn't the movie you're expecting, but, like, this is intentional. Like, remember the owl? Oh, haha, but this isn't that movie.
It felt to me as a screw you, Dad.
It felt like a wink to me, but I totally get where you're coming from, especially as this movie seems aimed at people, so...
It just, they could have done it differently.
I got you.
And the whole, what's this? We don't need it. Leave it. Mm-hmm. That's really what got me.
I got you.
I mean, they had a whole scene where they're in the woods. They could have had him just flying around or something.
That's
true.
Or
they could have had him with that new Io character who was around the whole time. Why it wasn't just put him on her shoulder?
True. And make it part of her companion, yeah, or something.
Make it part of her deal.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So there you go. And then you don't have to worry about it.
I mean, they did actually put in the line to say, no, leave that there, a.k.a. throw it away. So I get what you're saying.
Yes, yeah. that was what got me. Or just had it with, like, the king. Or you could have had it there in a way that it was there. And people went like, oh, Bubo, and then never use it. But they pointedly, he's like, hey, what's this? And they're like, we don't need that. Leave that there.
But they're acknowledging the nerd. You'd only get that joke if you'd seen the original.
I guess.
30 years previously.
Joke. Okay, so anyway. The crew goes off to go talk to the Stygian sisters, who are going to tell them how to defeat the Kraken, which follows along. And of course, that Stygian sister scene was so fast.
Yeah.
So much shorter than the original scene. It was like cuckoo fast.
We got to get the other stuff. Hurry up. Yeah. Talk faster.
Did you like the way they looked? I thought they were so standard 2010 Hollywood scary lady thing. I don't know.
I
like them being crones.
I got you. And absolutely, that fits more. They did a good job with them in the 81
one.
But something I will stick up for this movie is that for as much as the CGI is run-of-the-mill factory work that all the movies in that year probably had the same art department on, the costume and makeup design did have a style to it.
Sure. I have no problem with the costumes.
But, like, for the sisters, to me, they look so much like Guillermo del Toro, like Pan's Labyrinth Hellboy style. Mm. And it, like they up the creepiness, you know, to get that dude bro factor in, I guess. But I'm a sucker for it. I like that kind of look. There's characters that come up later, the djinn and the ferryman, that sort of have similar stylized look to them. So I was on board with it. But I can see what you're saying.
I like that they had an actual eyeball.
Yes.
Which they didn't have in the original one. They had the sharper image crystal. But this one had an actual eyeball. But I also didn't like, they're supposed to shove the eyeball in.
Yes.
I was hoping that they, because I understand what they did in 81, because that would be so hard to do. But in 2010, you could totally do that.
Oh, absolutely.
Shoving the eyeball, whatever.
They didn't,
so.
They ran out of CGI money.
I don't know how it seemed like they had all of it. Anyway.
But it's the same setup as the 81. He goes to them.
Yeah, he steals it from this time with a backwards headbutt instead of Bubo helping him out.
Well, you know what would be more awesome than that stupid mechanical owl?
Yep.
Back headbutt. Yeah.
They add an interesting twist in this one, though. Like, they add the concept of, with all information comes a curse when you're dealing with divine or omniscient beings.
Yeah.
You know, like, don't ask more questions than you need to. And then he gets the answer that he has to go find Medusa again, kill the Gorgon. But also, hey, well, when you go do that, you're going to die. See you later. Yeah. Bye.
Yeah, that was fine. I really didn't have too much problem with the scene.
I got you.
I just wish they looked more crony and they could shove the thing in their eye, but whatever.
Yep.
So after they talk to the Stygian sisters, this is actually where Zeus gives Perseus the lightsaber.
Yep.
While they're hanging out. Is that, when do they see Pegasus? Is that before or after the Stygian sisters?
Yeah. It's after, but it's around the same time he gets the sword.
Right. It's in the woods.
And they encounter a flock of Pegasi.
Yeah.
Pegasus?
A flock of Pegasi. Yeah. And
Pegasuses?
And then the black one shows up and Io touches it and Perseus touches it and then it flies away.
Yep.
Okay, fine.
Kind of like they threw away Bubo. It seemed like they threw away the Pegasus.
You were supposed to catch them and stuff, but whatever. But I'll tell you what happens in the original myth when we get to the part where Pegasus actually shows up in the original myth, because I think it's even more awesome.
Okay.
But anyway, that's there. They're like, remember this? He's black now because
black is better, man. The white horses, those are like for girls. Black horse.
Black Beauty. Disney made a lot of money on it. We got the same horse. Don't you recognize it?
I'm going to tear my throat apart talking like a dude, bro. Anyway. And then we get the, like, hey, how does the fisherman know how to use a sword? We'll train him in like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And then it's like, how does he know how to use it so well? You're lucky you're half God. That's how you know how to do it. Okay, thanks. There are so many times in this movie where they're just like, because I wrote it. Like, how does it? Because I wrote it.
Because reasons.
Because reasons.
Here's my justification, though. He is being trained by, you were talking about Liam Cunningham being like the guy in the crew that helped you through the second act of this movie. For me, it's Mads Mikkelsen. Yeah. I love that dude.
Yeah.
And if there's anybody that can train somebody how to use a sword in 30 seconds, I'm pretty sure it's Mads.
I guess.
Especially when he's in angry dad mode like he is for most of this movie.
It was just silly to me. Because in the 81, they took care of it in a montage.
Yes.
They like showed part of the montage. They're like, look, he's practicing with a sword, so he knows how to use it. The end. You know, that's how you do it. You still take only 30 seconds, but you say, like, this is 30 seconds of, like, years.
Yeah, at least a few weeks.
So, whatever. That's the beauty of a montage. Come on, bring back the montage.
We're going to show you doing things kind of bad, and then you start to get better at it.
I forget how it goes, but it's something like that. So, anyway.
That would have been a nice homage to the 80s version. Put in a montage. Be like, the 80s did it. We can do it, too.
Oh, before they went to the Stygian sisters, actually, we skipped the part where they get attacked by Calabas, who he was so weirdly, like, wedged in there.
Yeah.
It was strange. It was like, hey, we can't forget about the Calabas guy.
Yeah.
Because we took away the whole princess thing, so we got to figure out a way to wedge him in. How are we going to wedge him in? Have Hades go to him and say, like, it's your job to kill Perseus.
Yes.
Here's fire breath. Have a nice day.
Yeah.
It was so wedged.
Yeah. And especially because it's in the original, Calabas was another wife's, another
demigod. Yeah.
Yeah. Another demigod, like not really having anything, any relation to Perseus. But in this one, it's his father.
Yeah.
So after he kills his wife to try and prevent Perseus from being born, that we see in a flashback, Zeus strikes him down, which is pretty neat, just to be like, zap, you're a jerk. So being mutated into a monster by lightning, kind of cool, but also it's just they crammed it in. It's like, here's where we can fit this narrative piece.
Yeah. So Calabas shows up to kill Perseus.
Yep.
And they get all fighty. And was it Mads Mikkelsen cut his hand off? It wasn't Perseus this time.
It was Mads.
He cut his hand off and his hand's bleeding. And it's his blood that creates the scorpions instead of the Medusa head blood from the first one. And these scorpions are like the original scorpions on steroids.
Yes.
They're freaking giant.
Yep.
And it is so, like, Starship Troopers Greek edition.
Oh, yeah. You know? Oversized arachnid, like, monster mutants, yeah.
I mean, big, giant action scene. Fun.
Exactly.
Popcorn chewing fun.
Exactly. That's one thing this movie nailed is, like, the big action set pieces. Especially since there's two waves of scorpions. Like, you're like, oh, they made it through. And then it's like, no, the scorpions just got bigger.
Yeah. But then they, again, the writer's like, how do I get out of this?
Yep.
Hey, look, here's these bark people who we're going to call jinns from Arabian mythology that never shows up at all in Greek mythology ever. And they have magic powers and they make the scorpions become tame so you can ride them across the desert.
Hey, dude, bro, do you like crossover episodes? Because here comes one.
My whole family was like, what is this? Because my kids are super into Greek myths because they love the Percy Jackson books.
Yeah, yeah.
Which led them into the actual Greek myths.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, what are those things? And I was like, they said they're jinn. And they're like, what is that? And I'm like, I think it's like from Arabian mythology.
Yeah.
And they're like, what is going on? I was like, I don't know, man. I don't understand.
But they're cool and they speak in a grunty language and they use magic.
Yeah.
Awesome. It was awesome. And then they ride the scorpions like a caravan.
They ride the scorpions like a caravan.
Oh, so, I know it's pandering to me, but
here's
man.
A toy. Wink is a toy. So... My problem with some of it, too, was like, so they have all the red shirts. I call them all red shirts because they didn't develop anybody.
Nope.
In this thing.
Nope.
Nobody.
They had that flute joke where they show that they're somewhat not musically inclined and then they breaks the flute, but that's all the real.
And
like,
then he pulls out another one. Hilarious.
Hey, man, that killed in Greek times.
Oh, my gosh. But, of course, that was Liam Cunningham, so it worked fine for me.
I got you.
I just wish they didn't let any of these guys breathe.
Nope.
That was the problem. You have all these good actors,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't let them breathe at all. Even when, like, you get to the parts where you get Ralph Fiennes and Liam Neeson doing their theater type stuff together.
Yeah.
It's so brief. They gave them no room to chew any scenery. Because the action sequences were so long.
They were the focus.
Really,
yep.
Really long. And it was just like everything was just a bridge to get to the next action sequence.
I believe it.
So I don't know, man. It seems like they could have shortened some of those action sequences and given the actors time to act.
Especially for a story, a myth that has so many twists and turns.
Such good actors, but whatever. Anyway, the Scorpions, fun. Calabas got away without his hand.
Yep.
So then they go see the Stygian sisters, find out about Medusa, and then go to the Medusa temple.
Yep.
And then we get another, here's the next action scene with Medusa, who I was like, oh, this is an awesome video game. This is when I was like, really? I was like, this is an awesome video game. I like this video game a lot.
I believe it.
The Medusa fighting part. And one of my kids went, I like the original Medusa better. Why is this one? Her face is pretty. It's supposed to be scary.
Yeah.
You know, it only gets scary when she's doing the eye thing.
Yeah, she's definitely more monster creature in the original and more like snake lady in this one.
Yeah. It was a fun action sequence, I guess.
Yeah.
I got salty, but what's with the, hey, we made you a scorpion shield out of a scorpion, and now we're leaving. Two funny guys, I guess. They're supposed to be comic relief, but they never get to act, so they aren't ever comic relief other than like going, ha, 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 when they kill things or whatever.
Yeah, they got lines when they showed up to join the group, and they got lines when they left the group. Yeah, but
they're like, we can't go with you in there, but we made you this shield that is so, I don't know. The other shield was so cool. I had it when I was a kid, shiny with the eagle on it, and it looked awesome. And this was just like a turtle half, something from like a leatherback turtle.
But am I also now supposed to believe that scorpions are reflective on the inside?
Yeah, scorpions are reflective. I know.
Because it still worked, like the mechanic.
Know.
Yeah.
I know. But it was, even though he didn't use it to, he like, she's there, I'm going to leap in the air, close my eyes, and cut her head off as she leaps. And I don't know, whatever. Sure.
Did you forget? He's a demigod. He can do whatever he sets his mind to in 30 minutes or less.
He's a demigod. But that was a fun action sequence as you watched everyone get taken out.
Yep.
Which I'm kind of glad they did that because that's what's supposed to happen. That's what happened in the original one, too. He came out of there alone.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, remember in 81 he came out of there alone?
Oh,
nobody made it.
I thought, yeah, that's true.
No, he didn't come out of there alone. You're right. He came out with a head and everyone got killed by the scorpions.
Yes.
They flip-flopped it in this one. But everyone is supposed to die. He's supposed to show back up alone. So here's the thing I wanted to tell you about the myth. So what, do you have anything to say about the sequence with Medusa in this one? Because you said the other one was visceral to you.
Other one was visceral, so that had more of an impact. They upped the scale on it and it's cool, but the Snake Lady CGI is, it's really obvious. It's just, it's real on the nose, so for as suspenseful and as cool as the music beats are, the music in this movie is great because it times up with the action sequences and it get all the impacts in that. But there's no engagement or investment in this Medusa. It's like, she's kind of cute. She has, you know, she has snake hair. Why are you fighting her? But I don't know.
Yeah. We looked up the Xbox 360 game that this was based on.
Yeah.
Pretty much looks like the same. It does. I bet you if you played the Xbox 360 one, on the Xbox One where they do the because it'll up the graphics a little bit.
Yep.
I bet you it would look exactly like the movie.
I wouldn't doubt it. I don't have a problem with her being a snake lady because according to the myth, they sort of laid out in an info dump in Act Two. It's like she was cursed because she was beautiful and attracting men. Uh-huh. So like that has to be a factor in it. But I think the curse should be more curse, you know, not like, hey, you leveled up. You got cool snake armor.
I know, right? Yeah, you're right.
But you wanted to tell me something about the myth.
Yeah, because I don't want to just jump all over you here. So in the original myth, because, and I think they got this right in this film.
Okay.
So Medusa, when she was human, was supposed to have had relations, we'll call it, with Poseidon on the floor of Athena's temple or Aphrodite's temple, someone's temple.
I think it was Athena's temple.
And that's what led to the curse.
Yep.
So what happens in the original myth is that when Perseus cuts off Medusa's head, the rest of the body, well, in the way the Greek myth is written, the Pegasus leaps out of her neck.
Ooh, fun.
Because Poseidon is the god of horses, too.
Yeah, horses in the sea.
Right. So the Pegasus is literally a demigod, like the child of them both.
Yeah.
Of Medusa and Poseidon. So when he kills Medusa, Perseus killed Medusa, not the head turns into basically the Pegasus.
That's so cool.
Then he hops on the Pegasus to ride to go do his stuff. That's how he gets Pegasus. Is that not cool? Wouldn't that not be an awesome way to do it?
Way cooler than how it just they just shoved it in this movie.
Yeah, where he comes out and it's like, oh, there's Io, the woman who's been watching me since I was a baby.
Yep.
Who I guess I'm in love with because I think I should be. I'm not sure. And then Calabash shows up and forks her. And instead of forking Medusa's head, he forks Io.
That's video game style. The bad guy shows up, kills your love interest, and says, hey, guess what? Battle scene.
Yes. And again, I think that was too fast. That fight scene was so quick.
And way too many flips.
Yes. It was just like...
He's a fisherman. How can a fisherman flip that well?
Demigod. It's demigod.
He is a demigod. But he's also a fisherman. I get the steady legs and balance when you're learning sword, but...
Demigod.
He pulls off like 3 front flips, maybe 1 back flip in 1 fight, flawlessly.
Apparently in this movie, once you figure out how to channel your demigod, you can do everything. And then he defeats Calabas, and then Io's there dying.
Yep.
And it is the most... I'm sitting there going like, this is like a freaking high school play where the one actor really likes the other actor, but doesn't want to show it and feels really awkward trying to get through a love scene. And they were supposed to kiss, but then one kid came to the... theater teacher behind the scenes is like, is there a way we can do it without a kiss? That's exactly how it felt.
Yep.
There was like, you're sitting there, like the music, like, so the music is fine and good. The music's telling you like emotion, swelling, Notebook Rain moment. Yeah. But the actors are like, me.
See you later.
See you later.
Sorry that you got stabbed.
I think I like you. I'm not going anywhere but you. Oh, you turned into dust or whatever. And then it's like, what am I going to do now? Oh, here's that horse I touched its nose and now it's here to take me places. What?
Even better, because like the horse shows up because he knows Perseus is looking at the eclipse and he's like, crap, I only have an hour left. Uh-huh. And the horse is like, I hear you, man. I got you. We timed this out.
You should have had him come out of Medusa. It would have made more sense.
Yep.
There we go.
Instead, it's just narrative magic.
The good thing is that you didn't have to wait like
my 10 minutes
for
flying
him to fly back, because they got to it pretty quick. It went, you go from that back up to Olympus, which we hadn't really talked about Olympus because.
Yeah, any thoughts?
Well, I mean, everyone's wearing medieval armor for some reason, so they have like ahead of time armor. It looked like they raided. Do you remember the original Excalibur movie?
Yeah, exactly.
They're all wearing that shiny Excalibur armor.
And it's still shiny like it was back in the 80s or whatever.
Yeah, no, you're right. So, yeah, they didn't look like Greek gods.
Yeah.
They're supposed to look like they're statues.
And I get the shininess and lens flares, so you know it's the heavenly realm of Olympus.
I know, but one thing that was cool, I did like how the floor was the world.
Yes.
That was neat. That was cool.
And they kept the statues.
And they kept the statues of
so
the people.
Creepy.
That was kind of cool too. But I didn't like how all that armor was weird to me, the medieval armor.
Yep.
And the whole pantheon of the gods, they didn't introduce a single one of them.
Nope.
They were just there, right? In the 81 one, at least they go through and they're like, "There you and you and you and you and you and you." And you're like, "That's cool."
Yeah, and the new one, they only used the names half the time. They were still going like brother and saying like relationship instead of calling it out by name so the audience can follow along.
That was, with the costume stuff, that was one of my problems with the costume stuff.
Gotcha.
Like, put them in the freaking togas, man. So anyway, whatever. So then you got Hades up there convincing Zeus to like release the Kraken.
Yep.
So then you get the line, release the, just Liam Neeson was waiting the whole time.
That's where he got his paycheck.
Release the Kraken. And the new Seattle hockey team, you're welcome. You have two to use now. You can either use the original 81 one or you can use the Liam Neeson one. And I bet you you'll use both because why not?
I think I prefer, if I had to pick between the two, I would actually pick the new release the Kraken quote over the old one.
Oh, sure. He's got a certain set of skills, and saying release the Kraken well is one of them.
Here's a stupid nitpick. This is like Princess Leia hair moment for Mikey.
Oh, yeah.
So they're prepping for the release the Kraken line, right? But right before he says it, he dismisses all the other gods for no reason. Like, they go to the next scene after he says the line. It's not like they can't hear him release the Kraken, you know? Hades is like, Zeus, you must do it now. And he's like, all right, the rest of you leave. Okay, they're gone. Release the Kraken! Like, you're just telling that to Hades? You don't want your friends to know? Like, so dumb. Such a stupid nitpick.
I don't know.
It was cool to hear the line, but
I'm not going to defend much in this film.
I get it.
But hey, you had a problem with the sea monkey Kraken.
Yes.
What about this Kraken?
Much better, even though it looks like it came from the Cloverfield or Godzilla movie.
You know what it looks like?
What does it look like?
It looks like Domo.
Don't. That's right.
It looks just like Domo.
That's true. That's what it is.
It looks so much like Domo. My children laugh.
Really?
They're supposed. It's supposed to be scary.
It is. Right? It's supposed to be an intense action scene.
And they're 14, just who this movie's aimed at.
Yep.
They laughed. So, if you want to talk a hold up, a 14-year-old in 2010 probably thought this was awesome. A 14-year-old in 2020, they thought it was silly. And they thought the 81 one was better.
I get it.
In a lot of ways. They said, I like the Kraken from the original one.
I can see it.
Better. So, interesting, right?
Yeah.
So, we've come a long way in movies in 10 years, I think.
True.
I think the Marvel movies and the Star Wars stuff and
Avengers and
a lot of this stuff has kind of made it so they're a little more, have a little more refined taste in movies.
Yeah.
We're talking about these big blockbuster action movies like they're high-end cinema.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Avengers movies, the Star Wars movies, a lot of these newer movies under the Favreaux and the J.J. Abrams, all these guys, all this stuff, it's a different kind of popcorn movie than they were making 10 years ago.
I got you. It's like kettle corn. It's got a little more substance to
it. So anyway.
Yeah, I'm with you. The Kraken had the right scale for this one, though. Old one, they had to use the scale, whatever. But this one was a Titan. A Titan should be towering.
Sure. So. He still wasn't a giant squid, though.
Yeah. And, I mean, he's being battled by a flying horse that looked like it came out of the Harry Potter movies. That CGI threw me out, but man.
So what's funny is with this one, in the 81 one, everyone was like, all right, well, we're just going to have to sacrifice you, princess.
Yep.
And in this one, it did make a little more sense that the king was like, you're not going to get sacrificed. And then there was this crazy cult led by, I think it was the guy from Rusted Root or County Crows or one of those 90 hippie bands.
Yeah. One of the actors from the Dazed and Confused.
Yeah. Who, they went and got her. And because I guess they showed that she cared about the dirty poor people, she was willing to sacrifice herself.
They gave her the 10-second scene where she feeds sick kids. Yeah,
which, sure. And I'm not sure, who was that actress? Well, whoever she was way too skinny, in my opinion. But anyway,
yep.
Not that it mattered, because Perseus, not interested.
He really wasn't.
Even though in the myth, it's his wife, but whatever.
You're paying too much attention. Eat more popcorn.
Yeah. So,
the heretics, they take Andromeda and put her up King Kong style again, just like the old one.
Right. And, of course, Perseus comes just in time.
Just in time.
But instead of dropping the head off the back of the Pegasus, Hades shows up with his little furies again.
Yes.
And they steal it from him. So we get a chase scene through the Argos, which was already destroyed by the Kraken at the beginning, but whatever.
The funny part about I noticed about this, we mentioned it earlier, but this movie is all CGI, except this is the one scene where I noticed practical effects. And when it was the Pegasus was running through the market.
Yeah, it was a real horse.
A real horse with prop wings on it. And they didn't even blend it with CGI. It's just, here's the practical. Okay, now back to the CGI. And it's ridiculous because the wings are just bouncing with the horse's step. Oh, hilarious.
My goodness. I forgot to mention this. I'm going to just stuff this in here real quick, because how I said that the original myth has some things in it that are, like we said, like the Pegasus coming out of Medusa. So in the original myth, in Hollywood, I guess in 2010, how much stuff changes in 10 years? I guess Hollywood wasn't too concerned about, let's put brown faces in this, because there weren't any.
Nope.
I saw it all. Unless they had a guy behind the djinn thing, and they're like, hey, that guy was whatever.
Yep.
Even though you can't see it. But anywho.
Whole bunch of white Greek people in this movie. Yeah.
But do you know where Cassiopeia and Andromeda are supposed to be in the original myth?
Africa?
A place, it's a place called Ethiopia.
Oh, nice.
Have you ever heard of Ethiopia?
Yeah. Okay, so that region.
What color are the people in Ethiopia?
Yep.
Yeah, guess what? And Ethiopian people are known for being very beautiful-looking people anyway.
Yeah.
But makes sense that the Greek myth was that way. I guess they were always good-looking people. So when the myth writer was writing the myth, they're like, where's the most beautiful princess from?
There you go.
Ethiopia. So, holy crap, if you want to make a movie and have it be diverse,
stick to the actual myth.
Stick to the actual myth. So, there you go. That was missed opportunity in my mind. I was like, well, man, you could have made it African and whatever researched whatever the ancient Greek era African.
Oh yeah,
like soldiers, warriors, whatever. It would be cool looking.
Absolutely.
I'm sure. I don't know what it would look like because I'm not a historian, but I bet you it'd be awesome.
It'd give it a little bit like just more interesting, unique look rather than it's the same buildings and the same people and the same. All the towns look the same.
It makes a million times more sense why he had to cross the desert to get somewhere if he was in Ethiopia.
Yeah, instead of feeling like he's just going to like fields that are right next door to each other and just are all within like a day's distance.
Yeah. Sometimes the original source material, you don't have to change it much.
There you go.
To make it awesome.
Well, neither one is like have hit it perfectly, so there is still the opportunity if somebody's like, I'm doing there authentic is. Perseus.
There is. And then so after I gotta shove that in there. So after we see the practical horse, and then finally he gets the head back. I forget how everything moves so fast. I didn't even know for a second that the Furies had the bag with the head in it. I was like, what? Oh, okay. Oh, boy. Manic.
So I blinked and I missed it.
He gets the head and climbs up and like, here's my moment from the poster. Medusa said, here we go.
Yeah.
And we're turning into stone now. Giant domo. Giant stone domo.
He goes slow, though. He's like, I don't want to. Yeah.
I'm Mr. Stark.
I'm going to try and hit you one last time.
That was kind of cool. I had no problem with that.
Yes.
That was a good, fun sequence. It worked for me. I kind of like how they both like fell in the water and it was like, oh no. Or she fell in the water. No, she fell in the water.
She did.
She fell in the water. Then Hades shows up and in like a second and a half, he's like, this whole movie, the whole thing, instead of Andromeda is beautiful, I want to marry her. It's I want to get my revenge on Hades.
Yes.
And then he does it in like a second.
A second.
It was so unsatisfying because it was just like, here I am. And he's like, daddy, give me lightning, you know? And it was like, boom. And it's like, see you later. And he's like, now I'm going to go save that lady. It was so fast.
Yeah, they had to wrap things up.
It was so fast.
They did foreshadow it with one line saying that when the Kraken gets killed is when Hades will be at his weakest. So like they mentioned that once quick in passing, but it could have been at least, you know, 30 seconds instead of five.
Yeah, it was. Yes, it was like, daddy, give me lightning, sending you back to the underworld. Now I'm going to go save this lady.
Pow!
And it's like, hey, lady, who are you? And she's like, I'm the princess. Marry me. Because it says to in the myth. And he's like, nah, I'm good. I'm going to fly away on my horse now.
Yep. I'm just a fisherman on a flying horse.
Yeah, deuces. What is happening? I didn't understand any of that part.
That's when they got tired of writing the script. They're like, we fit everything else in. Can we just be done now? All right. He flies away into the sunset.
Yeah. But then they had like kind of an epilogue scene where he's at Zeus's feet from the statue.
Yep.
And Zeus shows up and he's like, lightning worked pretty good, didn't it, son? He's like, come on, let's come up to Olympus.
You want to be my son up in the clouds?
Yeah. And he's like, no, dad, I'm good. He's like, okay. And he's like, here's that creepy lady who's been watching you since you were a baby.
I brought her back to life so she can keep following you.
Following you around creepily. And then you're like, oh, here comes the kissing. Nope.
Nope.
Again.
She's like, be my king.
Girls are icky.
Yep.
And so like this, here's the really pretty ladies who've been following you around. He's like, awesome. Hey, you want to go like to the mall or something and get a smoothie?
I hate my dad too much to fall in love with somebody. I got to go.
Screw you, Dad. the whole thing. Clash of the Titans.
That's it.
That was it. So this movie was not well reviewed. It made its money, was able to get the sequel. The sequel didn't make its money.
Nope.
This movie got nominated for 2 Razzies.
Oh, fun.
It got nominated for Worst Prequel, Remake, Ripoff, or Sequel.
Fun.
It lost to Sex and the City 2.
Wow.
And it also got nominated for Worst Eye Gouging Misuse of 3D.
Oh, yep.
But it got that they lost to The Last Airbender.
Oh, yeah. Fans of Airbender don't even acknowledge that movie's existence. Yes. It's so bad.
So there you go. 2 Razzies nominations.
What? Yeah. The 81 Clash of the Titans had a 60% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes.
And a 6.9 on IMDb. The new one has a 5.8 on IMDb and a 27 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes. And the audience rating is bad as well.
Yeah.
Like when I was buying it on Fandango on my TV.
Yep.
I was like, we're going to watch this movie now for my podcast, Family Movie Night. And my wife like saw like the she'd never seen the tipped over popcorn thing before.
Oh, yeah.
We've never watched a movie on Fandango that bad. And she's like, what is that symbol right there? And my kids are like, oh, that's the tipped over popcorn bucket. That means the audience didn't like it. They're like, usually you don't see that.
Yeah. They dropped their popcorn and walked out.
Yeah. I'm like, ooh. All right. So, Mikey, pizza rating.
Pizza rating.
Clash of the Titans 2010. The original 1981 you gave a
six. I believe. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to give this one I'll give it a five. After talking with you, it was going to be a six, but you made me realize that it does have more flaws. I was giving it more of a pass than I should. So this one is a five. I would, if I had to pick between the two on which one I would go back and rewatch, I'd probably reach for the original quicker than I would reach for this one. That being said, if you know that this is a popcorn-eating action movie for dude bros, and you just want something, you want to see cool action scenes and people, you know, fighting monsters, it's a fun time. It's an hour and 45 minutes. I complained about the 2 hours of the 81 one, so this one's a little bit more quicker paced, but like you're saying, you don't really get to know anything about it because it moves so quickly. So sort of a pro and con of that. So five slices, maybe one topping.
So the original one, did I give it seven? Or did I give it six with toppings?
Six with toppings.
So you gave the original one five then.
Nope. But now having seen the new one, I'll retroactively give the 81 one an extra slice by comparison.
Oh, okay. So that means we'll match then, right?
Yes.
Because I gave it 6 out of 8, I think, right?
I think so. With toppings.
With toppings. Okay. This one doesn't even come close. It would have done a lot better if they hadn't done Bubo like that.
I get it.
They really upset me.
They hurt you.
It would be like doing, I don't want to compare it to Star Wars because Star Wars is too iconic. I don't know. It'd be like doing something from your childhood thing and taking one of the characters out and being very obvious of taking the character out.
I got you.
I don't know. I don't like how they did it. And then the acting wasn't good. There's only two actors there I could stand.
Liam Cunningham and who?
And Pete Postlethwaite, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it was nice to see Rory McCann, but he didn't really do nothing. He, like, died right away in the Medusa thing. But
Same with Nicholas Holt. I love him and everything he's in, but he was a bit part, a red shirt, and we didn't really get to know him.
So what I saw in this movie is a lot of lost opportunities. It's funny that it's a Warner Brothers thing because it's it seemed like a DC movie to me. It seemed like a DC superhero movie to me. And it had all the problems that I have with DC superhero movies. And the fact that you're working with this great source material, and Marvel's able to do it so well, so why can't you do it that well? And to me, it's just really formulaic. Everyone seemed to want a paycheck.
Yep.
They just were like, let's follow this formula. Let's make money. We're going to have a trilogy. Money, 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 money. I need a new pool. I don't know. It was just, I'm saying 4
okay.
out of 8 slices of pizza.
I get it.
And I probably would have given it less if I hadn't talked to you a little bit about it here. And there are some, but it's getting no toppings at all.
I get it. Plain cheese, 4 slices. You're going to take it and like it.
4 slices because it's not good, but the action scenes are fun.
Yeah.
This would have been an awesome video game.
Oh, for sure.
I'm sure the video game wasn't that great because video games made for movies usually aren't. But if you could put a controller in my hand while I was watching this movie,
yeah,
and I could pretend that I'm like a Dragon's Lair, pretend that I'm like moving him around, I'd be like, yeah, this video game's awesome. This is a great video game. So
there's that video game God of War, and it's essentially like, here's my hot take right now. They're telling the same story, and even the video game version of it is better. God of War, I would blow Clash of the Titans out of the water.
So I was originally going to say 3 out of 8, but 50%. No, you know what? I am giving it 3 out of 8.
Okay.
3 out of 8. I didn't like this movie.
It's recorded. We have archived it.
I'm doing that extra slice because it got thinking of Bobo again.
I get it.
Bubo. Bobo, Bubo.
Bubo.
Bubo. You can't do both. 3 out of 8.
Yeah.
So here's the 3 slices. You get 1 slice for working so hard on the CGI. The CGI team, good job, fellas.
Yep.
You get 1 slice for casting.
Yep.
But this because it's the director's fault for not using them. And you get 1 slice for the music being awesome. So action sequences.
Yep.
Good casting, music.
Yep.
That's all you're getting.
I get it.
The rest of it, just whatever. This can go away. I'm not wrong because the sequel flopped and then they didn't do another one.
That makes sense.
But give me the 81 one. But really what I want is someone out there with an understanding of history and myth. So I want someone who, I want a Dave Filoni of Greek myths. Someone who Dave Filoni loves Star Wars so much and the mythos of Star Wars that he really tries to make his things fit properly and match.
I got you.
I think it would be so cool if you could have someone who was that way about Greek myths.
I get it.
And knew Greek myths really well.
Find the Ken Burns of who knows about Greek myths. And
I think that would be like Stephen Fry. He has all those books about Greek myths.
Have him put him in a meeting with Dave Filoni and let the magic happen.
Yes.
So we're putting it out there in the ether. We want to see an 8-slice original homage to the original myth movie.
Yes. We want to see Perseus kill the Gorgon Medusa.
Yes.
And then out leaps the Pegasus.
Yes.
And he rides that because he has to get away because she's supposed to have two sisters with her.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. Because she's not the only Gorgon.
Yes. Yes. Stephen Fry, do it.
Let's get it.
Yes. So we want you guys to let us know what you think.
Yeah.
Did you love the new one? And we're like, what's wrong with you? I love it. It's one of my favorite movies ever.
Let us
know. Mm-hmm. You can hit us up on all the socials at Assuming Pod. You can Gmail us, assumingpositions@gmail.com.
If you
want to write a letter. We want to thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you're having fun out there in the dark times. Mm-hmm. Fun can be had. You just need to find it. The light in the dark exists, much like Perseus's helm. No.
Release the Kraken!
Watch out for Krakens.
Yes.
So thanks so much for listening. We also want to thank that guy Brad for doing our announcing, Not Scott Production for equipment, Jazzar for our music, and we hope you guys have a wonderful week. Look out for Krakens.
R.I.P. Boobo.
All right. Aw, Boobo.